I want to affectionately greet all of you for our first workshop together. Let me just arrange this a little bit. Yes. Very good. Let us start this workshop with a little bhajan which was sung by Srila Prabhupada. It's a composition of Srila Rupa Goswami glorifying Srimati Radharani, the Empress of Bhakti. We want to go a little bit deeper now into the Bhagavatam, and we pray to be empowered. Bhakti Devi is one extension of Srimati Radharani, and I think if we glorify Srimati Radharani, then Bhakti Devi will inspire us to now commence our fascinating journey to the Bhagavatam. The text should be there for all of you. Repeat after me. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite.
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava.
Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite.
Gokula Taruni Mandala Mahite.
It says, O Radha, all glories to you, O beloved of Madhava. Your glories are sung by everyone, all the youthful maidens of Gokula. And then different aspects of Srimati Radharani are glorified. Her dress, which increases Amoda affection. It is said that she is the queen of the Vrindavan forest. Her parents, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, she's come from there like the new moon. She's the best friend of Lalita. She captivates Vishaka. And it ends with a beautiful prayer. Bestow your compassion upon me, O Radharani. O you who brim with compassion. She's overflowing with compassion. Give your compassion upon me, your transcendental character. And qualities are described by Sanaka and Sanata.
Amen. Thank you.
Workshop. In this workshop, we will learn how can we actually draw the nectar out of the Bhagavatam. You must know there are bhakti, there's bhakti with nectar, and there's bhakti without nectar. Most of the time, we become negligent or a little distant to the practices of bhakti yoga when we do not attain a taste which is higher than the material things like the apps and the movies and the London Maya. It's very important that we perform bhakti with taste. We need to know, in other words, how from this one of these five processes of bhakti, in this case here, the process was relishing the Bhagavatam, how we can do this is relish, and how we can avoid boredom. And in this workshop, I will teach you how to be a sugarcane baller. Sugarcane is just a stick. If you do not know the art of the sugarcane waller, who draws the juice out of the stick. In the same way, the practices of bhakti can just be an external dry thing if you do not know how to draw out the nectar in them. And we hope to teach you a simple process today, which is good for your reading. But as we will learn, if we have time, I want to make everyone a lecturer of the Bhagavatam so that you can give lectures in the BBC on the Bhagavatam. Let's see if we get the time and if we get there. But first we must teach us how, when reading the Bhagavatam, we can not just read it, but we can relish it, and so on. Let me just, this is the purpose of this workshop, let me now just summarize what we... Hare Krishna. This is dramatic. It's a dramatic retreat. Let us just summarize. Today in the work and the lecture, I wanted to focus on Prabhupada's extraordinary endeavor to bring the Bhagavatam to the West, how he translated it in Vrindavan, how he printed the Bhagavatam in Delhi, where he also rose funds by distributing a magazine so that he could distribute it, and how he took that arduous journey over the ocean to bring the Bhagavatam here. And the second point I wanted to make is on the position of the Bhagavatam. It is Krishna's representative form, and it teaches us something unique, that is bhakti as the main emphasis. When Prabhupada arrived in America, he brought with him a poem which is known as Makine Bhagavat Dharma. He had written this on the passage, and when you read this poem, which I really inspire you to do in your spare time, you will see just how important for him the Bhagavatam's message was. He said on the board of the Janaduta, looking towards America, maybe he already saw the coastal line of America. He turned to Krishna and said, "I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message." What is the message of the Lord? In text 8 he says, "The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation." The representative form of the Lord. "The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam," then he talks about some poems in the Bhagavatam, and he closes his poem by declaring that yes, he has come as a messenger. Yes, he will talk as a messenger, the message of Bhagavatam. But he prays to the Lord that the Lord is empowering him. He says, "O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like." So I think in Prabhupada's own words, it couldn't have been more clearer than here in the bhajan of him. He wants to preach the message of the Bhagavatam as an empowered puppet who dances according to the will of the Lord. He signs his prayer with these words: "Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Janaduta." Beautiful, no? Let us reciprocate Nanda Gopal with that effort of Srila Prabhupada. Let us receive this divine message which can make dead people alive, come alive. Let us receive this sound incarnation of the Lord. So now, how do we actually read the Bhagavatam? Remember, please, that in Rupa Goswami's instruction how to approach the Bhagavatam, he doesn't say read the Bhagavatam. He says relish the Bhagavatam. Taste it, because only then, you know, it will be bhakti with that life-giving nectar. The process of studying a sacred scripture and relish it is given in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and it entails three elements which I want to teach you very soon by giving you a text of the Bhagavatam, a beautiful text which you have to analyze according to this method. The first item is Shravanam, or just collecting the information in the text. It's hearing the text, reading the text for collecting information that you do also in your universities or so on. You get the points. The second is Mananam. It means to reflect the subject matter. The third is to Nididhyasam, to contemplate how can I apply this text in my life practically. And then comes an additional text point with the Vaishnavas make. You have to pray for realization. I personally think that the single most reason why people give up relishing the Bhagavatam is that they only know the first item, that is to read it or to hear it. Reading or hearing the Bhagavatam is like bringing food to the mouth. It does not nourish you enough. Reflecting over the what you have heard means to chew the food. Already a little nourishment comes. But only if you apply it, the third level, Nididhyasam, or contemplate how you can apply what you have heard and then bring it into your life, will you swallow the food and it will nourish you. Was I clear? Was it maybe too fast? I hear you young people are very fast. Kavichandra. We hear it. That is like bringing a, what do the Pandavasinas like? A pizza with olive capers and heavy Scottish cheese. Vegetarian. To the mouth. This is not enough engagement with the pizza. Just like just bringing a food to the mouth, just hearing about a sacred text is not enough engagement with the text. It will not nourish you. You will remain hungry and look for your food somewhere else. Therefore, you must learn to reflect about it. What struck me? Have I heard something like this somewhere else? How could this be important for my life? Reflecting about it, moving the thing, it's like chewing. Oh, then it tastes so good. This is really good information. And then finally, you must first think about how you apply it and then apply it in your life. Nididhyasam. It's like swallowing the food and feeling, wow, this rests well in my life, in my body, and so on. Finally, because the subjects are a little high sometimes, you may need to do Vandanam or pray for realization. That if you do these four steps, three Upanishadic steps, and the fourth is a typical Vaishnava step, then you will be able to relish the Bhagavatam. If you only hear about it, you will actually one day suffer from information overdoses. This I see a lot in our temples. The devotees here, there are 20,341 lectures and you ask them, so Prabhu, what did you hear? Oh, well, it's just come out of the lecture. What was the lecture about? I think about Krishna. It has not gone inside. It's like food which has not gone inside and rests there, rests outside and does not nourish the person. My dear Pandavasenas, don't join the group of unenlivened devotees by avoiding these three processes. I would like to now say to you, give to you an example how I applied these processes in relishing the Bhagavatam, and then I will distribute texts of the Bhagavatam to all of you, and then you will have to read the text applying the four topics or subjects, and I might call upon a few of you, and please do your work very well so that you do look like enlightened students of this retreat. It was on one of my pilgrimages to this time it was to Badrinath, where I learned or experienced the power of these steps, these four steps. I had just cheated on the Indian military. You know, I wanted to go to the falls. They start with V. You cross the Bhima Bridge, where you cross the river Saraswati, and then you turn to your right, and then you come to the Vindhara Falls. It's something like this. But you have to walk 6 kilometers. So this is military restricted area, and only those can come in who have a special permit. I thought, I have my permit already from our Sampradaya, but I need to convince the military. And I just said, my dear military, I'm a devotee of Lord Krishna from Europe, and I am very friendly to the president of India. That's not true. Then I said, and the king of Puri had once come to our temple. That was true. I request you to allow me just to go to Vyasa Gufa. That's the cave of Lord Vyasa Dev, which is very close by. So they said, what can you leave here so that we know you return and don't go to China and tell them all about India? I said, okay, take my passport. So they took it, and they thought I'm a serious person, and they allowed me passage. And so I went first to Vyas Gufa. I saw that one man was watching me. I went into the Vyas Gufa, and then I looked through the door when he was not looking and slipped out and went the other way. Now, what to do? One also has to be a pilgrim at times. And I remember it was a long, long walk, much longer than expected. I remember I came through a nebulous area, there was fog, and I started to read this verse, and I had a little book of verses with me, which I read while I was walking. And I want to tell you what happened then. It's a verse of the sixth canto. Haritva vapadaikam mula dasanudaso vavitasmi buya manas mareta supate gunangste gainita vakarma karotikaya. O my Lord, O Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So I did the first step, hearing the verse, reading the verse. Then I thought, what does this all mean? I started to reflect about it. Well, here is a great devotee who wants to return back to Godhead and serve the devotees and use his body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. Then I went to Nididhyasam. What could this mean for me? And I decided at that moment, let me, when I come back to the West, become a very dedicated servant in spreading the message of the Bhagavatam everywhere as a servant of my spiritual master, and let me use my body, mind and words in Krishna's service here so that I learn how to do it there. It was a definite resolve, and then I ended the session by saying, Krishna, please give me the strength that I use my body only for your service, my words only to glorify you, and my mind in thinking about you. And I remember that this verse all of a sudden filled me with transcendental ecstasy, so that when I returned back, I was very tired, and there was this fog again, and I only knew the way because there was something like a mule. Do you know what is a mule? It's a mixture between donkey and horse. Was walking before me and showed me the way through the fog by Krishna's mercy. I think the Lord had sent it to him. I felt in my heart, let me sit down. This can't get any better than this in my spiritual life. I'm now actually enlivened to think about Krishna, that I want to become his eternal servant, as a servant of my spiritual master, and I want to dedicate my mind, body and words in his glories. And I thought for a moment, I could just as well die now. I'm happy. My life is a success. I have a heart full of bhakti. I don't need anything else. I was so content. I sat down on the stone. The mule disappeared in the fog. Still remember? And I felt, my God, how will I get home now? Maybe I'm too extreme here. I should not really think about leaving my body in the Himalayas. But I felt so blissful. I stayed there thinking about the verse and being filled with the verse for a whole hour or so. I have forgotten that I got up and I continued through the fog, and I eventually found the mule. It was waiting for me, it seemed, and we went both together, and I collected my passport. They said, you were very long in Vyasagupa. Yes, I said, only chance. I don't come here very often. They gave me the passport, and I was on my way to my place where I slept. This, my dear devotees, is a simple example of what I wish all of you now to do on your own. Do you have any question up to now? Because we will now make exercises. Krishna Kirtan.
Inspired by this particular verse, and then you went through the steps. But what's your advice on if we're sitting there, we've in our mind made a resolve that we're going to read for an hour on the way to work or in the evening? Are we supposed to, at every like sentence, paragraph, verse, or just when the heart is connected, then on that particular point?
Thank you very much. The best is Krishna Kirtan. That Krishna Kirtan, no? Why do you laugh? Sometimes I give new names. I have to be careful. Not intentionally, but because I forget the old name and I think that is the name, and then I get in trouble. So, for beginners, the easiest is to read until something strikes you, captures your interest. Maybe it will not be time from the atom to atomic time to this universal time. You read until something captures your intelligence, and then you stay with this. This is for the beginner. For the person who wants to join the sugarcane wallahs, who wants to relish a deeper taste, he needs to know how to get the juice out of the sugarcane. Because every verse of the Bhagavatam is full of juice, but something is covered and others is obvious. So the beginner will just go for the obvious nectar, and a little bit more advanced will just go through these processes, shravanam, he will hear. Then he will think about it. What does this mean? And then he will enter into something practical. I would like to give you an answer. When I was in school, the verses subject for me was mathematics. I'm not like Syam Gopal, who is, I think you're good at mathematics, isn't it? Maybe I'm not. I always think you know everything. I was very bad in mathematics. Now, in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, there is an exact description of different measurements of time, and it is exactly defined how long the truti is, how long the lagna is, how long this is, and it goes over a whole chapter and it calculates, you know, there are tables and it calculates, and it used to be very dry when I came to this spot and I was begging for a pistol. It was really very dry. That was the beginner stage. Then, Krishna Kirtan, I have that, well, wait a minute, these are the words of the Lord. This is the sound incarnation of the Lord. What type of devotee am I when I have, when I accept one part of the Lord and the other part I reject? Isn't it in a relationship? Krishna Kirtan, I like you very much when we associate, but when I'm on your dental chair, I will bring my weapons with me if you hurt me. This is not a serious relationship, you know. After all, you just want to help me with tough mercy, you know, drilling. So I wanted to just give an example. Appreciation and love means you accept the person as he is and don't constantly try to change him, to make him into a replica, a boring replica of yourself. And that is not the way to make a relationship work. So if I want a serious relationship with Krishna, I have to also understand this is part of the Bhagavatam. So I was reflecting, Manana, how come this, where is this, what is this point? And I found something very deep when I went a little more in the, into the reflection. Krishna just wants to show how everything here in this world is under his kala aspect, the time aspect. But no matter how long the duration of everything is, it's in the end temporary. It comes and goes. That is, by the way, the reason why Shukadev Goswami tells these long, long narrations about the dynasty. And he had so many children, and they had so many children, and so on. At the end, he wants Parikshit Maharaj to know, see, all these dynasties have come and gone. Lose your fear of your own inevitable departure. You will join like everyone, like the you will go like everyone has gone, all the dynasty. In other words, the Bhagavatam doesn't just teach by giving you a certain informations. If you allow yourself to enter this process, Krishna Kirtan, you will allow yourself to have a spiritual experience by reading the Bhagavatam. But if you never reflect, if you never think how you can apply it, then you will be like the person who thinks a sugarcane stick is dry. It's not. You need to know how to crush it so that the juice runs over your thirsty tongue and you are happy. This, by the way, is what Prabhupada would always criticize in us, Westerners. He would always say, you Westerners, you are, you know, no, we are too superficial, too shallow. And then, in order to function, we need one more excitement. In order to, which is outside of us, we never go inside. I saw this in Dubai. There was a man before me, and he had his mobile phone, which is as good to him as his heart, I found out, in the pocket. And he had forgotten to, he was not a frequent traveler, so he had not put it into the X-ray thing, you know, in the basket where it goes and is scanned if it is safe or if it's an explosive mobile phone. So he had brought it with him, and he went before me, and the machine went like beep 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 beep, the detector, and the officer told him, there's something on you, and he just said, it's a mobile phone, you have to put it in the plastic, how do we call this,
trail,
and then you have to get it through the X-ray machine. This person suffered from a heart attack almost. What? I can't get this out of my hand. You know, there are so many good apps on this. My life is in my apps. He said like this, you know. I said, 10 seconds. What is it, your business? Okay, sorry. People have become so outwardly facing. And the Bhagavatam requires you to go inwardly by applying this process. It's a standard process of learning. In one of the Avanti teacher retreats, I suggested this to the teachers, and they, from the response, they really appreciated this, because it's so simple. This is how you internalize a text and make it your own, let it work on you. So, answering your question, an excellent question, that sometimes you, when you are a beginning Pandava Sena devotee, then it may be alright if you skip some parts in the Bhagavatam where you just don't relish it because it's too mathematical or too geological or too this, too that for your taste, and you wait until the more devotional points. But I found out that is Prabhupada somehow always at some stage after some verses will bring in the your work. Why he will reflect about it. It was no purpose, no purpose. Then he says why this is relevant to us. Anyway, so but later you should read the Bhagavatam everything. You should not have the half hen logic where you accept the front part of the hen accept the back part which gives an egg. I know we don't eat eggs, but it's an example from logic. There was once a farmer who had a chicken, and he understood, well, the front part always eats, it's so expensive, but the back part is very productive. It always gives eggs which I can sell. So let me be intelligent. Let me get rid of the expensive part. Then I have only the productive part. And he cut the neck of the hen. Of course, then he had no eggs any longer. So, some devotees have made it like this, that they only go through the Bhagavatam stories. And I think for having a dynamic Bhagavatam Sangha, this is definitely an option. But for personal reading, it's good if you eventually enter a deeper transformative experience with the Bhagavatam that I was saying. You are an older devotee, you are no longer just a greenhorn. I mean, greenhorn is not the right word to say. A beginner in spiritual life. You can make yourself familiar with it. Good. I think this was a good question. I would like to now make groups of two with you. Can you maybe just find yourself a partner, the men, the ladies, please, and then I will instruct you further what to do. It's important that you take part in this exercise because I will request you to go through all the four steps so that you learn it here and then you can apply this in your daily Bhagavatam reading. So you will now all get different texts. Partner A will get an A text, partner B will get a B text. Or the idea is you both should have two different texts. These are beautiful Bhagavatam texts. Sugadev Goswami. You can join one of the groups. We will do now, we will learn how to read the Bhagavatam. Not how to read, how to relish the Bhagavatam. So, everyone has a text? Not yet? Wonderful.
we can talk after the lecture how we can integrate the Vina better. A bit like we can.
So, may I ask, does everyone who has not yet a text? Good. Now, my dear devotees, I see you are already applying the first item, that's good, but please listen for just a moment. You can in a moment start reading. I'm very pleased that you're so eager to read. My request to you will be now to first read the text. The second is to reflect on your own about it, then on your own to do nididhyasana, that is, think how you can apply this in your life. Don't just say any wild thing that you will never do. Tell something realistically what you could do. And then I will request you to share, and then comes the frightening part of the workshop, but then I don't tell you. It's doable, don't worry. So, is it clear to you? Let me just... yes. Are you clear what Shravanam means? Buddha Bhavana. What is Shravanam?
It's to read and hear the... Read or hear the text.
Read or hear the text. What is Mananam? Anyone? Ekadasi. Reflect. That means... have I read something else about this? What comes to mind? Move it like you can think of chewing. You also move the food around between your healthy white teeth. This is manana. Move it around. Then third, nididhyasana. What does this mean? Nanda Gopal, you are nodding your head. Please say it. Yes, how to apply it in your life. So please, we will have about 7 minutes to do this. I will look at the wristwatch and give you the sign when to stop this exercise. Start now. You may not be able to catch all the points, but if you catch some point, contemplate on that and see how you can apply it in your life. We have one to two more minutes. You can also pray at the end to Prabhupada and to the speaker, the Bhagavatam, for a deeper realization. So now I request you to turn to your partner and do something which you most probably are not so used to. Present the text in a mood of service, more like a spiritual teacher to your partner. Make him understand this text which you have written. Or you could also, while you talk to him, imagine that behind him is a whole big hall of people who listen to you, like in the first movie of Abhishek. You remember when he had the selfie, or is it called selfie? Yeah. He was there on the picture. And then, I want to show you my friends. Then he had first of maybe 50 or 80 people, and then and the next time when he showed us our friends, it was an ocean of friends. So the reason why this is good is, one way of applying a text or going deeper into it, the text, is that you just tell someone else about it. Who of you has made the experience that while you talk about a spiritual subject, they come alive in you? Please raise your hands. I'm always thinking, if no one benefits from the lectures of Satchidananda Swami, there's one person who for sure benefits, and that's the person who sits and gives the lecture. It is really like this. It is a practical entry into the text. So I request you now to become for a moment a spiritual teacher. Maybe you first pay your obeisances to your partner. No need. I'm just a servant. But I would like you now to understand what is in this text which I have read. This will help you to really to summarize everything, read, reflect, apply, and so on. Maybe you want to do what all lecturers do. Do you know, before we start, we always pray. Have you noticed this? Namaham. Because we are what we are. But if the mercy comes, then it's possible. My dear Pandava Senas, my dear friends, please believe me. I'm talking to you from practical experience. Talking about the Bhagavatam as it is, not adding anything to it, just bringing the message, will just help you to imbibe the message on a deeper level. So now you can help when partner A is talking, do attentive listening. Don't go like, and, just hear in a submissive way so that he feels encouraged and not discouraged, and then you can relish the Bhagavatam to a deeper degree. Please start now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Please slowly come to the end. Slowly, please just finish your point, and then in 1 minute or so we will end this. Tradition tells us a very, very nice way to relish the Bhagavatam. It always says you should relish it in the association of the devotees. So I would like you to now, if you have something to share from your reading, to just share something in one sentence, something nucleus. Maybe it's a sentence. Maybe you would like to say something like, I found here, anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Shri Krishna helps in all respects. I found this very, very good, you know. As I'm phrasing this exercise, I have to, let me just look at the... Time is not on my side today. Let us skip that. But when you usually read the Bhagavatam, it's really relishable in the association of devotees. That really cracks the sugar cane pipe, or what it is called, that opens it. I know that Naveen Krishna Prabhu told me they have a Bhagavatam reading circle, and I think this would be nice to start in other places, and you will see, if you apply this method, you will get to the nectar, you will get to the juice. I want to now end the session with a short Q&A session. Who of you has any questions regarding this workshop or this morning lecture. This is a good time to ask. I see one of you. Your name, please?
Rishi.
Rishi.
Thank you so much. So, in the workshop or in the session in the morning, we said that we should read the Bhagavatam attentively and submissively. So, how do we read the Bhagavatam submissively? What does that mean?
Srila Prabhupada gives a very, very nice point in either the introduction or the purport to the Bhagavad Gita, what it could mean to read the a text submissively. He says one should at least theoretically accept that Krishna is God. This is a submission, this is a faithful submission. So to be submissive while you read is you bring yourself out of the critical observer role or the critic, but you hear with a sympathetic submissive inclination. There's a reason why you must do so. Whenever something is received from higher up, the receiver who wants to get something must take a lower position. My thermos bottle or thermos flask is a good teacher in this way. Water will only come in my glass if I put the glass underneath the thermos. Oops! Oh my God. It's only water. You know, if I would make like this, I would definitely not spoil my dhoti, but better my dhoti. That would be... The receiver always needs to be submissive. In the Gita, Krishna also speaks about this. He says one should not ask challenging questions, but one should approach with submissive service. Tadvidi pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya, the service. And then you have to be in a servile mood, you know, a submissive mood, somewhat feeling like a servant in relationship to a master, or feeling like an ignorant person in relationship to the literary incarnation of the Lord. So for this you must at least theoretically say, okay, bow down, Rishi, come down now, be in a receiving attitude now, be submissive. And then something can come. If you put yourself above the text, I'm Rishi from the University of London, what does the Bhagavatam have to teach me? Then nothing will come. Hare Krishna. Yes, I see our... I soon have learned your name by heart, but at this moment I'm Rasa Bihari Krishna.
When you gave us 7 minutes to read it, I didn't get very far because I'm just reading. There's so much to be had from it that I didn't get to turn over. I just got stuck. I guess that, like you say, we are materially conditioned to understand that we want to get through things. And I can imagine that after some time it leads me to frustration because I can spend a week and I'll only get through a page. Which I spiritually I can understand that doesn't matter because you're still getting a lot out of it, but I guess there's a frustration, like
a mode of passion will pick at you, you useless reader. I think there are two types of readings. When it is a personal reading for your personal upliftment, then you should leave the page counter to the side. When it is something that you need to prepare a lecture and talk on a subject, then it's something else you need to prepare yourself. But that is rarely so. I remember this connection, a very elevated story. There was a very great soul living at Govardhan. His name was Krishna Das, and he had asked his disciples to meditate each day about the pastimes of Krishna as they take place from the morning to the evening. Now in the evening, one disciple approached him. He was really distraught. He had cried. He said, "Guru Maharaj, I couldn't follow your instruction. I never got over this one point where it says Radharani gives Krishna something, and I meditated about the hand with which Radharani gives Krishna, and the hand was so beautiful, I never got past the hand. I was all day with the hand." And then Krishna Das answered, he said, "That is real meditation. That is real contemplation." So if you are stuck at one point and you relish it, that's your entry point to the spiritual dimension of Krishna consciousness. It is perfectly alright. The instruction is not finished so many pages on the Bhagavatam. The instruction is relish the Bhagavatam. I look towards the Madhutis if there is a question. Not yet. Yes, Vinayji, another talented communicator. Yes.
Thank you so much. When I was reading this passage from the Bhagavatam, I was wondering, why do some people get a higher realization when reading the same passage compared to other people? So why is it, what's the differentiating factor between kind of unlocking the sugarcane between some people and others?
A realization is always related to the purity of the heart, and or that you enter, that you're in a situation where this really concerns you and it really speaks to you. Let us say someone is struggling to give up a certain material desire, as an example. Now he is really wanting to give this, you know, tendency to see 50,000 movies in a week. He wants to give this up. I'm giving an example which does not relate to any part of us. He really wants to give it up. And then he reads a passage in the Bhagavatam where it's discussed how Krishna will fulfill the material desires of his devotees, but in such a way that he adds to what he gives them, him as a fulfillment, he adds a taste in devotional service which will spread and spread, so that eventually he can give up the lower taste because Krishna has given him something higher as the devotee engages in his service. There is such a text in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. And he begins to think, wow, I have a hope. I am not yet free from all material desires, but let me engage in devotional service. Let me engage in hearing about Krishna. And then Krishna kindly will give me a higher taste so that I can one day say, I am beyond this. It's no longer an attraction. It's no longer an issue. So, realizations come in two ways. Either when you're pure in heart, or that's sometimes a high demand, a high call, or it comes, Vinay, when you actually really want to know something, then you have what is called an eagerness. That is the price for Krishna conscious realization, an eagerness to know. There's even such a verse that Krishna consciousness can only be held when there's eagerness. And Baladev Vidyabhushana gives a very good example. He says, bhakti means thirst. Imagine I would supply you with a cup of water, but you have no thirst. And this delicious cup, in this wonderful thermos, which has accompanied me all over the world, will be of no interest to you. If you have thirst, the same substance becomes relevant and so on. So this eagerness, this thirst, which you need to have when you approach a spiritual subject, where does it reside? This eagerness for Krishna consciousness you cannot get from reading from outside sources like psychology and a lot of engagement in this and that. This eagerness is solely the property of the devotees. So just like a beggar who's hungry and comes to rich grihasthas who have their storages full of food, you must come to devotees who are rich in ruchi and taste and hear the and spend time in their association. The time in which you hear about the transcendental messages of the Bhagavatam. The beautiful queen of ruchi, which we require so much to do, to dance in the arena of bhakti. Will teach you the dancing steps, but this she resides in the association of devotees. Therefore, it always says, relish the Bhagavatam in association with devotees. This is Rupa Goswami's instruction. Yes, Mataji. I think we will give you a microphone so that we can hear you. This will be our last question because.
Where's the microphone for you?
Sorry. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Just as when we do not have the taste to chant, we sometimes pray for the taste to chant, or pray for the taste of the taste to chant, or try and connect ourselves somehow or another to the process of chanting, even if our heart feels full of barriers. I wanted to ask you. One from when you mentioned your translation work, were there ever days where you were translating and you found just the process of associating with the Bhagavatam overcame days where it felt a bit draining to yourself? And what motivated you? Was it that instruction from Srila Prabhupada to stay with the to boil the milk to really was that what kept you going, or was it just kind of the magic from the portal of being near the Bhagavatam? What helped? Because 5 years sounds like a long amount of time, and I'm going to share a very embarrassing fact about myself that I started the Bhagavatam with so much enthusiasm in 2002. I've been on the 10th canto for about 4 years. And there's points where I felt so bad that I've let go of the flow of reading that I've gone back to places and read again and kind of not been able to move from that point. So I was wondering if I could ask for some inspiration for days where it did feel mechanical. What magic occurred?
Krishna, yes, I know what you're talking about. See, I... Translation is a tough work, especially if you have a difficult text before you. And I remember when I was translating, you know, we always got up at 3:30 to be there for the Mangal Aarti with already a few rounds in our pocket, and we went through the whole morning program, and then we ate halava for breakfast, and then we had to come to our translation office. And all the blood was in the stomach, nothing in the brain. And oh, it was so tedious, so tedious. Oh, I desired with other translators, we made a standing table like this, and we bound our seekers to the to the ceiling, so that we, when we were not up off, we would have a painful reminder that this is not the time. It's the time to translate it. You know, when you do this for a year, this practice, then there were times which were very difficult. Very difficult. And I got into a rut where I really felt this is a dry service. And I was a young man, I wanted to go out and preach. And here I was just locked up in a little room and fighting this brother sleep and so on. Then Prabhupada visited in 1974 the castle where we stayed. And I had an exchange with him. He asked me what I do for service, and I said, I'm trying to translate your books. And Prabhupada immediately, it was as if the whole atmosphere in the room changed. He became so sympathetic to the restless boy before him, young man, I was maybe 21 years old at that time, or younger. Maybe young, 19 years maybe, only 19. Very young and immature and foolish. And translate the book. How many pages do you do a day? In other words, he asked, like almost a colleague asked another colleague. He was also a translator from Sanskrit into English. How many pages you do a day? Thought, oh, that's my chance to impress. And I said, I think I said 17, which is a lot. And he said, really? And I said, on my best day, usually I do 10 full pages, you know, full manuscripts, top to bottom page. And Prabhupada was very interesting. Very merciful towards, and he gave me an instruction during this time which forms the basis of my life. He taught me a few things. He said a devotee should be four things: a good disciple, a good guru. I thought, what? We never thought in these terms that it would be possible that there would be other devotees besides Prabhupada. He should be a water carrier and a cook. I understood the last two. He should bring the water of life, of Krishna consciousness, and he should be not so dependent on others. When you know to cook, you are not dependent on others. And so, yes, he gave me instructions like this, and I always remember this. I go into the association of Prabhupada, I go into that room. See, in the Bhagavatam it says, when you don't have taste in hearing about Krishna, you should go and serve a devotee. That you should try. When you are not having taste in your Bhagavata, go and serve devotees. After you have served devotees, the gift of taste is with you. But if you do everything but avoid service to devotees, my dear devotees, you won't just get very far in obtaining a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. It comes in this way, by serving the devotees. It's really when you have when your life gets boring and tasteless and desperate, go and don't think about you, don't lament, serve devotees, cook a feast, invite devotees to your home, serve them, hands the feet, and you will come to another level. This is a Bhagavatam recommendation in the second chapter. My dear devotees, I want to close the workshop here so that other programs can be done. Let me summarize it, however. We went very quickly through four steps. My request to you is that you take note of these four steps. You can write them down. Maybe we can have them again on the on the screen with what they mean, reflect and so on and so forth. And then when you go into your reading sessions, please apply them. Yes? Practice a little. Practice even while being here, if you have a few minutes, which most probably no one has, because this is the retreat is packed full with exercises and let me say seminars and meetings and so on. But at home, please take this list with you and apply it. It's very important for me to say, too many of you have the sugarcane stalks. Are they called stalks? Stalks. But they don't know how to crush it, and therefore they go for the juice somewhere else. And this will help you to get the taste. Believe me, Kavichandra, it will help you. 100%. So please do this, because when we hope that you will all start reading Bhagavatam in all seriousness, become empowered Vaishnavas, and spread Pandavasena to the end of the horizon and beyond. So that inner strength comes from there. Take a note that you can be. This is a gift from us to you, that the pages of paper, then very nice texts. I think you should read them a few times more, because they are very rich with nectar. Thank you very much. All the best, and I wish you a wonderful retreat day. I know in the afternoon there are very exciting sessions planned. Naveen Krishna, I know, will start at 5 o'clock. And there are other, I think, Mataji sessions are there also. And this evening we will have, I will tell you a little bit about Krishna, and then we will sing our hearts out to Krishna. Yes, Nanda Gopal, you want to say? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Hare Bol.